Comically Inclined. I am Danny Stewart, the Nerd King, your host for this podcast.
Johnson. I mean, I'm Blake Hickman,
the director. You sure are, and damn, do you look good. And today we have our guest from Saturday Night Nerds, Mr. Cameron Rhodes. Cameron, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing okay, really, especially after, like, I'm good. No, thanks for having me, for sure.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. Saturday Night Nerds is one of our favorite shows, and, you know, we've both guested on it. Blake was on last Saturday. You guys are fun. You're engaging. I guarantee that anyone who's a fan of this should check you guys out because they're going to enjoy it.
100.
Absolutely. So what is your, like, favorite nerd thing?
It's a mix of things. Probably more than anything DC, because that's probably what I grew up on. Like, you had Batman and, like, even stuff like Green Lantern. And I'm finding out I read more DC than I do Marvel, weirdly, even though Marvel does better, like, in just about everything, like film and film and television series and all that. And also, I'm, like, a huge gamer too. Like, I've played games since I was a kid, like everything from, like, Nintendo 64 to GameCube, Wii, and now I've got, like, a PlayStation 5 with, like, too many games for, like, any one person to play in a lifetime.
Yeah.
You got PS5?
Yes, sir. I got one.
Man, you must be incredibly wealthy.
That is the mark of the incredibly wealthy.
It took me, like, a year and a half to be able to get one. Like, and when I got it was, like, a millisecond away from it being sold out before I could buy it, like, thank God Almighty. First thing I did after that was just, like, get what games I did for that were already out, for like Miles Morales and Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart and a few others.
Fan effing tastic. Well, we should have our fact checker and human relations specialist extraordinaire Ben Stewart in the comments eventually, and Katrina Stewart, our head of our art director for Comically Inclined, is in the comments now. She also happens to be my better half. My better half. Blake's my other better half. I don't know. It's weird. We've got this, like, throuple thing going on.
It works, though. It works.
It really works.
As long as it works.
Yeah, if you're running businesses and everybody's having a good time, it's working out, you know?
And family dinners are the best.
That's true.
Family style.
You got to eat family style, Blake. You'll learn. It's a Bavarian thing, really. Don't you have some German roots?
Actually, I do. It's very slight, like 1%.
There you go. Germans created family-style dining. Yeah, and steamy showers. Anyway, that's not news, but what is news is what Blake's about to give us. Blake?
Let's fire up the rumor mill. All right, this week on Rumor Mill, right off the bat, we got some Deadpool 3 news. We're getting our favorite taxi cab driver back. He's confirmed. He's returning. I don't feel like Deadpool movie would be a regular Deadpool movie without Dopinder. I think seriously, like, that man has set such a bar that we expect to see his face every time we see Ryan Reynolds. Their chemistry and the comedy back and forth is just phenomenal and great. Like, I love it. So I'm so excited that they're bringing him back. Even though that, you know, there's not a whole lot of change, but we are, you know, in the MCU now, you know, so we are getting some slight change from what Fox has had this whole time. So, yeah, glad to see them continue him.
Cameron?
What do I think about that? Or
whatever? Yeah.
I mean, I'm... I've,
yeah, you don't have to introduce any news. Blake takes care of that part. You just... Just talk
just
about
show, the just show your says. Tidbits toward it.
Yeah.
My tidbits. No,
if you had new news on top of Blake's rumor mill, I don't know how he would handle that.
Well, if anything, Blake already knows about this, if he's just waiting for after that. But they're also bringing back Leslie Ugams, who plays Blind Owl for Deadpool 3 as well. They both are really funny characters, and between them and Ryan Reynolds definitely helps, because. It's Brian fucking Reynolds, but yeah.
Dopinder was a major part of Deadpool 1 and 2, especially 2. While he was fun in the first one, when he actually joins X-Force in the second one, that's funny.
Reluctantly. He didn't make it past audition after Peter.
You know what I hope to see in Deadpool 3 is Hydra Bob again.
Hydro Bob?
Hydra Bob. He was in the first Deadpool. He's basically Deadpool's sidekick from the comics. So in the comics, there's a Hydra agent who is defected from Hydra, and he just hangs out with Deadpool all the time.
Right, yeah. And they even made a reference in the first one. Working for Francis, like Bob. Just like, how are the kids beating him into the ground?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, Bob? And he's like, Wade? And he's like, Jacksonville? The TGI Fridays? Yeah. So
all the Black Ops go down in Jacksonville.
So I know we haven't gotten Hydra in the MCU yet, other than we've gotten Hydra. Anyway,
Hydra.
So there's really no reason why we couldn't bring Bob in. For some reason, I was thinking AIM, but I think we've seen AIM as well now, right?
Yeah, we've had AIM too.
Yeah, because they were in Ms. Marvel.
Also, AIM was in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
So, Ben, I apologize that we didn't text you when we went live. We will further more and into forever. welcome to the chat. I was going to say perpetuity, and I forgot the word.
Number two on the list, we got Demetrius Grasse. Has been cast as the Grim Reaper in the Wonder Man that we're going to get, in which we got a little tease from from the Grim Reaper in WandaVision on one of the intros where we see the Grim Reaper helmet as it's actually coming down, the little cartoon house. We actually see it like in between the two levels. So that was actually a little Grim Reaper Easter egg that we got. That's who's going to be playing Grim Reaper in the Wonder Man series we're going to get.
All right. Wow. Very cool. And, if anyone who doesn't know about Wonder Man and Grim Reaper, they're brothers.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they're brothers before like he becomes Wonder Man, and it'll be interesting to see that dynamic, because Wonder Man's always been like he's always been tiptoeing the line between hero and villain at times. So it'll be interesting for them to either work together or fight against each other, and just And plus, a chance to see Abdul-Mateen III. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then Wonder Man or Grim Reaper too was a pretty big villain in like the comics for Vision, correct? Because I mean, he's the one that went after their kids, I think, in the comic line.
So you're gonna see a lot of overlap between Wonder Man and Vision, because when Wonder Man died, they put his consciousness into the original Human Torch android, and that's how Vision was created. Mm-hmm. So Wonder Man and Vision are technically the same character, but not. You see a lot of overlap in the comics between the two of them.
So we might possibly see White Vision in Wonder Man series.
That's what I'm wondering, because in the Avengers comics, it was Wonder Man first, then Vision. But in the MCU, we got Vision first and then Wonder Man. And the Marvel Cinematic Universe does a great job of, when they mess something up like that, flipping the script and then making it make sense. So, yeah.
Right.
Is Wonder Man's power going to be something that comes from the destruction of Vision, leading to him becoming one?
Possibly. And we haven't seen one with White Vision since WandaVision, and the only real thing we know about him possibly is like being in Armor Wars,
right? In Vision Quest,
Vision Quest 2.
Yeah, can we just say albino Vision, or like Vision maybe, or is it like, do we always have to say White Vision? I'm just wondering, like, I want to make sure I'm not upsetting anyone.
He's like pure white. I mean,
what if we said Cracker Vision? You think people would know what we meant?
Not unless
I think that's the one that you would probably have to worry about.
for sure.
Cracker Vision. I apologize.
You take a bite out of Vision and just put some butter on him.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I like it. So, Biscuit Vision and a nice crisp. Blake, what was the next
one? Let's go on to the next one. Number three, Netflix's Lee Sung Jin replaces Eric Pearson as a Thunderbolt writer and now is rewriting scripts for the Thunderbolts.
Oh.
You see rewrites for stuff like this and you automatically assume it means bad. It's going to be a bad thing. But then look at Ant-Man 1. You know, Edgar Wright wrote an entire script and made most of the movie. And then it got completely rewritten and redirected, and we got what is one of the best superhero movies of that that phase. So
yeah, and let's be honest. I mean, Disal had also, you know, go through Kevin Feige on top of that. So obviously there was something in that first script that he was just not feeling or feeling, you know, like it was going to be good for the continuation of all these stories. So, I mean, and this guy just seems super pumped. I mean, which who wouldn't be if you're going to get to write a Marvel MCU movie, but super pumped. And he said he loves these characters and he said it's going to be great, which we shall see. But
definitely. Yeah. And plus, it helps that Thunderbolts haven't even started filming yet, so they've still got
right. Thank God.
So they have time to to get everything down, like, and down packed until they start filming.
And right.
And they have to deal with being under the auspice of making this Harrison Ford worthy now, whereas that was not a problem prior.
But they are really close to start filming, I believe. So like I think they're supposed to start filming in June. So, like, he ain't got a whole lot of time to rewrite some stuff and get this approved.
True.
So it doesn't push anything back too far.
Right, because it's supposed to come out in late 2024. And And plus, Harrison Ford's already filming for New World Order. So.
Oh, that's right. You know, I know a lot of people are upset about the whole recast of that, but I think they picked a good person to do it. I mean, especially if that character is going to have this much more, you know, continuation in these MCU stories, he's got to be recast. I mean,
I haven't seen a lot of people upset about it. What are you seeing?
When it first got announced, there was people upset about it because they're saying how it's not fair. Black Panther couldn't get recast, but y'all didn't think twice about recast. You know,
right? The actor Chadwick Boseman was young,
right?
And William Hurt was not.
Well, like, I think that really gives a
heart attack of old age. You know, that's sad, but it's natural causes. Like, right. It's okay to recast the character dying of what was it? Cancer.
Colon cancer.
At in your 30s, like that's tragic. You can't 40. Just replace that character. Was he in his 40s?
I feel like any death's gonna be tragic to the family. But I mean, right.
I think every death is inherently tragic. But I'm saying the circumstances change the like. You know, you can't just be like, well, Chadwick Boseman died unexpectedly, and we're gonna replace him, and then William Hurt. You know, an older gentleman who's had a litany of movies and history and time and been around and his family around him, all of that kind of stuff and lived a good life. You can't be like, oh, those two things are the exact same and you have to treat it, the situation, the exact the same. And you did it for the black guy, but you can't do it for the white guy. Like that's the outrage, right?
But it is 2023, so it don't surprise me.
Yes, it is. And you have a point, like the circumstances, the situations aren't the same, but still it's not going to be easy no matter what. And plus, like the Chadwick Boseman, he was a vital point, and not only because he was lead, but also he helped. He was probably one of like producers and worked closely with Ryan and the rest of the cast. So,
well, he made T'Challa. I mean, honestly, he made that character, and I think respectfully so is the right decision not to recast him at all.
Agreed. I mean, it's up to not only just like the studio and the director, but just everyone around them to feel like, should we recast this person or not? It just really does depend.
Yeah. And I agree with Ben. I think it is more about the size of the role, you know, Thunderbolt Ross, not a main character in the MCU.
I think when it comes down to it, it's probably the gist of it right there is the size of the role.
Yeah. We're probably not going to get a Thunderbolt Ross solo film.
Not unless either him or Betty turns into a Red Hulk.
Yeah,
I think it's coming. I think we're getting Red Hulk in Thunderbolts.
I hope we do.
Thunderbolts New World Order.
Either that or Abomination just magically drops in somehow and just be like, hey, mind if I join?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, you never know. I mean, honestly, we did get Tim Roth to resurface.
He's definitely still kicking around. And then what about the rumor? Actually, I'll wait for Blake to get to it. Never mind.
go ahead and bring up the Betty Ross rumor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So Betty Ross, Liv Tyler, is actually reprising her role as Betty Ross in Captain America 4 New World Order, which, you know, I think the leader is one of the main antagonists in that. And so, therefore, That is, what is his name?
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, Tim Blake Nelson. So we're getting a lot of the Incredible Hulk cast, minus Norton coming back. And yeah, I think this is good. I like Liv Tyler. I think she's a great actress. Mm-hmm. And Tim Blake Nelson, I definitely love. I mean, not necessarily for that role because it wasn't really much of a role. But man, oh brother, where art thou?
Oh God!
Yes,
really good movie. I've seen that forever. Oh man,
just sing it to the can, boys.
I love that we're getting basically the Incredible Hulk as canon to the MCU without needing to pull Edward Norton in to replace or even reprise being the Hulk. Because bringing Liv Tyler's Betty Ross in basically confirms that that's the same Hulk, you know?
Right.
Like, I know there were some scenes in there, like Robert Downey Jr. appears at the end of the movie, that kind of thing. Thunderbolt Ross is, you know, obviously in it and then in the MCU. But I think making his Betty Ross canon to the MCU just finally secures that that's a right. recast and not an Elseworlds Hulk.
Right.
No, I agree with you. And I'm glad that, to be honest with you, I enjoyed that movie. I liked The Incredible Hulk. I thought it was great. And if it wasn't for Norton being kind of, a douche, on wanting to control the whole movie, I mean, unfortunately, that's what happened. It didn't work out with him. But, I mean, I enjoyed that whole movie, his banner and everything, too.
Agreed. Yeah, I liked it a lot, too. And with the leader and Betty being in New World Order, what are the odds of Mark Ruffalo coming into this, possibly?
We might get a cameo or, a little prize in, a little short prize of himself.
Pretty good. I think we're going to get that payoff for Scar, Son of Hulk at some point, and not just as a weird little cameo in She-Hulk.
Even though nothing like Scar should look.
Well, in his first appearance, but look at all of Thanos. The Marvel characters. Look at Thanos. It's really funny to judge every first appearance like, it didn't look like he's supposed to live in the comics yet.
True.
Like, let the character evolve. He literally just came to Earth. Like, he doesn't even know who Conan the Barbarian is yet.
But I do think there is some kind of weight to hold to Marvel on that. On, like, with the Thanos and different characters in the beginning, they were still new, and they were still really testing the waters and trying this stuff out. Man, we've got 20 years in us now. I mean, there's really, or not 20, 13, is it?
No. Yeah, we're at 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so it was 10 years when Endgame came out.
2008 is when Iron Man and the Hulk came out, I believe.
Okay. So 15 years?
15.
15?
Yeah, it's 15. But anyways, like, they should have their shit down pat now where they shouldn't have to.
I'm rolling my eyes at Ben.
Oh.
Look.
That's simple Scar to you.
Yeah. No, that shit was so trash, LMFAO.
Oh,
I get it, Ben. You were unhappy with that one appearance. It's okay. Let it go, man. Marvel is going to rally. Like, you're looking at it as like phase four was just not what I was wanting. Great.
Yeah.
Who's
Bruton?
Huh?
Who's Bruton?
Oh, Burton. Bruton. Phase four, I get that there were some hiccups there. They were trying to redirect what was functionally, 12 years of cinema and open the world up to telling broader stories. Some of that had to be changed. Some of it's going to be different, and they're going to try some stuff. Like, I get it. She-Hulk wasn't for you. Fine. It was for some people. I loved it. Katrina loved it. When Brittany was on the show, Brittany loved it. Like, I get it. Like, it's not your show. Okay. Not every comic is for you either. I don't read every comic that comes out. I don't like Avengers. Like the Avengers movies, but I don't read Avengers comics. They're boring. I don't read Justice League. I love Batman, but Justice League comics are boring. I don't want to slog through 18 characters from I bet. And there's a whole bunch of people that loved it. It has a really high Rotten Tomatoes score too. So,
yes. But see, Katrina liked it.
Yeah, but anyway, I'll get off of my soapbox. But I'm just saying, like, I get it. You're not happy. Just hang tight, man.
Yeah.
There's good stuff coming down the pipeline that you'll find your
that you really like.
Yeah, it'll fit your nice little superhero shaped design you've got drawn on your wall that everything has to look like, and you'll be you know, less complaining, I guess.
The perfection.
All right, on to the next thing. Disney let go another person, Ike Perlmutter, as the Marvel chairman, which is going to cut back on spending. This guy is, by cutting him back, is they are saving $5.5 billion. We can't get better CGI to Disney Plus shows now.
So when you were talking Marvel, and it's funny they said Marvel Entertainment, because what Ike Perlmutter is over is actually Marvel Comics.
But no, he's so, Marvel Entertainment chairman.
Right, but Marvel Studios and Marvel Entertainment are two separate things. So Marvel Studios is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Marvel Entertainment was everything else. But what Ike Perlmutter was the worst over was the comics. He's the reason for a lot of the really terrible editorial choices in Marvel Comics over the last couple of decades. He's the reason the Fantastic Four was taken out of Marvel Comics. He's the reason that they killed off all of the X-Men. He didn't want them to sell anything in the comics that made money on screen, because he didn't like that Fox and Sony and Universal were getting money off of Marvel properties, so he just wiped them out of the comics lines. So for a long time, we didn't have these characters in Marvel Comics, and it's because of Ike Perlmutter.
Well, he also did have something to do with the MCU, because get this, in Phase 2, as Phase 2 was starting, he's the one that was trying to push to get Kevin Feige fired.
Really?
But it didn't go through, but he's the one that initiated trying to get Kevin Feige fired to begin Phase 2, because he didn't think that it was taking off like it needed to do properly.
Yes, and then Disney so he had some oversight on Marvel Studios, and then Disney separated the two businesses and took all of his control of Marvel Studios away and gave it to Kevin Feige, which was a great move. And him being fired from Marvel has been a long, long time coming. And Ben, yeah, my childhood has come to life. There's some things I'm not a fan of, for sure, in Marvel. There are definitely some things I'm not a fan of.
That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. It's my childhood come to life. And also, like, I have slogged through so much shit reading comics and watching cartoons and old superhero movies that are just garbage and just loving pieces of them, that it's so much better now. And I'd hate that there's this, like, total need to hate everything that isn't exactly what Phase 3 of the Marvel Universe was. That, like, we just need to trash the whole thing and, like, get rid of it, because you just can't try new things. And that, like, troll mentality is what's going to keep us from getting new things on screen. And we're going to end up with the same regurgitated shit that we have from every other cinema facet in the world. And it's going to ruin the fact that we've had 10 years of continuous movie and plot and story between the series and the movies, where they've been willing to take some chances and try some new things. And if every single time they step outside of that box, every fan gets to the internet and goes like, this isn't my superheroes, like, eventually they're gonna, like, cave, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, WandaVision, that's a big step outside the box, but that one worked. I loved WandaVision. I thought it was great, and that was definitely nothing like anything in the MCU.
Yeah.
But so next on the list,
Cameron, we keep I apologize, Cameron. We keep cutting you off, and I feel like you had something to say there.
Oh,
no. I mean, right now I'm just in agreement. I was just letting you. I'm just watching the show as, like, you get on your soapbox again there for, like, another half hour. I don't mind at all. No. I mean, you guys are absolutely right. I mean, they're going to try and experiment and try different things. Some things will work, some things won't. I mean, Love and Thunder wasn't as great as it should have been.
Gore.
Some people didn't like She-Hulk. I mean, so what?
I can forgive them for everything except for, like Ben said, Thor Love and Thunder. That's going to be a hard one for me to get past.
But your problem with Love and Thunder, Blake, is that the humor was too funny for you. Or was too out of...
That's one of the main things.
It was too attempting, right?
It was.
Yeah, with that, and then you got Gore, who didn't get to see Butcher any gods.
Ben's problem is that Gore sucks. So Gore in Love and Thunder is not Gore. He sucks. And I think Ben did have a problem with the humor. But for me, being a fan of, like, some of the better Thor runs where the humor is, like, really deep. Like, it's all over the place. Thor's a, like, bumbling idiot most of the time in his comics.
Yeah, he can be, yeah. No, but my problem with Love and Thunder was definitely, like, the tone. Like the tones that they were trying to, like, meld together, like, they were trying to make it funny and serious at the same time. They didn't find the balance. It just
right.
I didn't mind the humor, just maybe not too much. And like, yes, kill a few more gods. Have him come to like the that city is too impossible to say right now. Libya? Killed a bunch of them. Yeah.
Well, that would have been the perfect opportunity to kill a bunch of gods in one scene and save you some money and not have to have a bunch of different planets or worlds or realms where he's killing different gods. Well, you could have done it all right there. Let him bust up in Libya, slaughter some gods, give us what we needed, and you don't have to do multiple scenes.
Nick is back! Anyway.
Wow, long time no see.
Which he was trying to do with the wish for eternity, but still, yeah, no, you're right there, Blake. And also,
Gore wasn't what he should have been, but I don't think Gore was awful. I think they should have just given more of his character and more evolution and more of his character.
So
I think Christian Bale's a good actor.
Right. I like that as well. I mean, I liked Christian Bale's Gore for sure. And I thought he did a pretty great job with it, to be honest. One of the better parts of Love and Thunder, in my opinion. But still, like, they definitely could have, like, explored and, like, dug deep into his character for sure. But I didn't have a problem. The villains from Phase 4 were definitely some of the high points for sure.
So, Love and Thunder, I don't love everything about it. The humor, sometimes it fell flat. Absolutely. There is some balance issues in that movie. But the Guardian scenes, awesome.
Yes.
Some of the stuff with the humor was so trash too. Anytime something happened that mattered 10 seconds later, they just covered it with a bad joke. Example, Korg dying. Yes. Korg being functionally useless in this movie really upset me. I love Korg.
Well, remember, it's Taika who directed the movie and as Korg. So we just found a funny way to keep him alive. Himself alive.
And for Taylor Burton, who's not in the comments tonight's sake, no Beta Ray Bill. Again, I'm so tired of Thor movies with no Beta Ray Bill. And so I didn't hate the stuff with Stormbringer. Stormbreaker. Is it Breaker or Bringer? Breaker. Stormbreaker.
Yeah,
and Mjolnir. I thought that humor was funny because they're both sentient in the comics. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was funny. I didn't hate it. I know Blake had a big problem with the like ex-girlfriend kind of jokes with Stormbreaker and Mjolnir.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, but I thought it was funny.
Hey, you? What are you doing here? Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that shit was hilarious. So some of it, and the fact that I really thought going into it that they were going to make a big joke out of Thor. And for the most part, they didn't. He was very respected by everyone other than perhaps Valkyrie for the movie as a warrior and his ability to fight and all of that kind of stuff. So I just think that the progression of Thor from the unworthy Thor we got in Thor 1 to, you know, and you got to remember, one out of four Thor movies are good.
Yes.
Yeah. Ragnarok. Because Thor's not good. Thor's boring. Dark World's not good. And then Love and Thunder's not good. So, I mean, everybody's, you know, these
Ragnarok
are.
Ragnarok was the perfect.
And Ragnarok's great.
Ragnarok was the best. I would say I liked Thor better than The Dark World.
Thor 1 was better than Dark World. Oh, wait, what?
Or the first Thor.
Yeah.
Better than Dark World. Well, I think that Dark World is definitely the redheaded stepchild prior to Love and Thunder coming out.
Yeah, but also whenever Love and Thunder did come out, I heard and read a lot of fans were like going back and say, why did I hate Dark World so much? This is much worse. Some fans were like Dark World was better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I get it. I totally understand having complaints about some of the Marvel properties. What I don't get is just saying it all is awful because you have some things you don't like. Because every time there's something you don't like, somebody likes it. Like, it's just, I hate this all or nothing perspective on these movies. It's, you know, and then you have these same people who are like, you know, give us more of the Snyderverse, you know, the DCEU isn't that bad. And it's like, yeah, Blake, exactly, your face. I would take Love and Thunder over almost every DCEU film to date.
Hey. This is true. This is true, actually. I gotta agree with you on that.
Damn.
Over Shazam 2. Shazam 2, I'd take over Love and Thunder.
Yes. One electric god over another. Yes,
I guess still take you to go see that.
Yeah, you haven't. You stood me up many days in a row.
We haven't made a date yet. So.
Yeah.
You better.
next on the list, Jonathan Majors, hot topic this week. Right off the bat, we get a woman who calls in and sits there and says that he strangled her and assaulted her and all these things. And then immediately, within, 24 hours, I think?
It was really quick.
There was footage, witnesses, taxi cab driver, everything to disprove it. And then come to find out, she actually admitted that she was having a mental crisis, and that's why she called in and did this.
Well, he called.
Oh, yeah, he called. He called.
Jonathan Majors called.
He called 911.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prior to that happening.
The cops.
No, he called it prior to the happening.
Yeah.
So, so he's been free and clear. But, man, there's still people running it around. People asking to recast him. U.S. Army, I think, had a
commercial.
Yeah, and they dropped it. Just because they're like, ah. Even after he's cleared, they don't care. They're going to leave it drop.
People are so cancel culture scared,
man,
that they ran the other way with this.
It's the same. So
mud on your name is mud, like that slogan. Yeah. Just like anytime one time, like you slip, even after you're cleared, people will be like, no, I'm gonna go this way. And yeah, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. I mean, but granted, I do understand like being cautious. But if they're clear and free and like no other reason, then
Well, here's the thing. Ben just said 24 hours later, she was a multimillionaire. I would kind of go with that if there wasn't already on record him calling 911 prior to her making this accusation. So I truly believe that this is true. I think it's a legit story, with what she's going through and all this other stuff. Because, you know, if there was no record of him calling prior to that happening, before she made this accusation and stuff, and then her getting in the hospital, then I'd be like, okay, they just paid her off to cover that up really quick. But I don't know, man. Also, I hope this doesn't affect his future. I think we don't need another person for
it
Kane.
I can't see it happening.
I mean, look at Ezra Miller. I mean, look what everything that they've done.
Well, look at the company that DC Studios reports.
Yeah, good point.
So the funny thing is, this week it's hot news, and the 24 hours news cycle is going to keep regurgitating it, but we'll move on to something else pretty quickly. And I think that this has already been very well proven to not be the case. Right. And she's already dropped the charges, and it's already not a thing. So I don't think it's going to affect going forward with King the Conqueror. I don't think it's going to affect the DCEU. So I honestly think this is already done. It was done before the news even got out, and give it a week and we won't be talking about it at all.
Right.
Yeah. I'm ready to quit seeing it on my social feeds.
Yeah.
I'm getting sick of it already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, Mike Tyson murdered someone and forced himself on a woman, and now he's a beloved public figure. So that's pretty bad. Jonathan Majors isn't even being convicted of this crime. Give it some time.
But next on the list, we finally get our Secret Invasion release date. Disney Plus has it.
Also, I'm going to beat Mike Tyson's ass. Anyway.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I don't have any meme to see you later, Cameron, that we did this on the show today. Yeah, Secret Invasion, June 21st. We finally get that date. That's been pushing back. We've been trying to figure out when it's going to come out. But we have got a solid date of June 21st.
The first Marvel
series. What?
The first Marvel series for 2023. And it's in June.
Yeah, it is actually. Is it? Yeah, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, that's halfway through the year. We're already getting our first one. Was She-Hulk this year or is that last year?
She-Hulk was last year.
Yeah. Man, time flies. Wow.
Yeah, well, Kevin Feige, he said he wanted to spread out the series for Disney Plus to make them as feel worthy, as special as the movies are.
Yes, and I'm glad, because I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't expect as much out of the Disney Plus series shows as we do our movies, but at the same time, I would love to see the same good quality stuff be brought into these stories and this acting. I'm not expecting the big CGI and all this stuff, but make us feel it. Make us feel inside of us like what the movies make us feel.
Yeah, put it inside us.
Let Marvel slide it in and feel it. Let it feel it. So yeah, the Disney Plus series is like a Marvel quickie. The movie is like the full blown show. I want that same pleasure. So I think it's good that they're going to slow the road, put some more time, and focus on quality.
That was gorgeous, Blake. That was so well done.
Glad you stopped yourself before you complete the whole butt thing.
Yeah. Thanks for stopping before your climax. I didn't want to have to clean that up.
Yeah, please don't clean up his mess, Danny. I'm sad that we're not getting much before, but I know.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Seth. I'm sad that we're not getting as much new shows, but it probably is for the better to like slow it down, like make it feel like we want to watch this, and it's gonna be if
make
not
you feel like what.
No wonder Deontay's friends with you guys.
Welcome to Clean and Clyde. This is what we do.
But anyways, at best, we might get like one or two more series for sure. Loki season two, and possibly What If season two by the end of the year. It may be another. I just can't imagine which shows.
Yep. We will get what, 5 or 6 Marvel products out this year still? When it's all said and done. Yeah. I remember when we were getting 2 to 3 movies a year. So, I mean, I still can't complain.
No.
Yeah. Used to be 4, but now they backtracked to 3.
Quality over quantity.
Yeah.
That's why Marvel does like it does and DC doesn't. So,
well, you know, it's weird because DC just avoids both.